Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of In the Eyes of Truth. Back with us is Daniel McAdams. He is the right-hand man of Senator Ron Paul. If you should know him, you should remember him. Great libertarian position. The empire never liked him for obvious reasons. So Ron Paul Institute, definitely check it out. Check out their articles and their shows. Very informative. The few people in the U.S. that actually have a head on their shoulders instead of just an air box. Welcome back.
You know, guys, we talk on the show a lot about wars, power politics, wars of attrition. And as I've said many times, as much more brilliant minds than myself have said over the years, armies travel in their stomachs, but in this case, it's a lot more than food. You have to arm with modern weapon systems your soldiers. So armies travel not only on their stomachs, but also on logistics, supply chains, and even resources, the resources that are in the ground. Now, everybody talks about purified, processed, rare earth minerals that mostly come, the magnets that come out of China. But there's other minerals that are mundane. Minerals such as tungsten. Tungsten that is critical for everything. Almost every weapon system that Washington is producing right now, every jet, every tank, every ship, a lot of the submunitions and the main gun rounds, missiles, in some way, all of them contain tungsten. The U.S. hasn't mined tungsten since 2015. 10 years, preferring to buy from abroad. But something that these last conflicts and the Gulf War, what they've shown is that the American supply chain is actually very, very brittle. Washington's understanding this, and they're moving as fast as they can to solve this gaping hole. This is an issue that they're planning on closing.
So America needs its own tungsten mine. I mean, 2015 is the last time they mined it. And tungsten has shown itself, especially in these last conflicts that Washington has gotten itself into, it's shown that it plays an oversized role, more critical than most elements, much larger role than most people understand. It's not just a metal, it's national resilience and survival.
The U.S. government is putting billions of dollars on the line. So the question is, can Volt Strategic Mining get the job done? Volt's operating model is straightforward. Acquire historic mines, use modern exploitation tech to maximize value. You know, the first rule of business, as they say, is location, location, location. So tungsten, which is priced near record highs, and Volt is right there in the place that it needs to be. They're not looking for new plays. They're not out exploring new areas that are high risk because maybe there is something there, maybe there isn't something there. They're located in mining-friendly states, such as Nevada, where is their flagship operation. And they're bringing back, revitalizing tungsten mines that were first put online back in World War II under the Defense Minerals Exploration Act. These are the mines that helped bring the minerals that defended a free world and beyond World War II. These are proven deposits, and they're going to be filling the needs of the U.S. government that are now in existence.
So Interstage Right, Volt Strategic Mining. It's trading under NOX. In Canada, it's KNOX, that's a sign in Canada, and KNXFF, that's a sign in the U.S. They're in the midst of setting up the biggest tungsten strategic project, not just in the U.S., but possibly in all of North America. So what I'm saying here is that this is a de-risked opportunity. They're not looking for new plays. This is a proven area. And tungsten is key, and globally, its prices are skyrocketing. Governments, corporations, they've all realized how much they need it, not just for military, but also for civilian uses. And they're all scrambling right now to get their hands and lock in reliable sources. So areas like the Great Basin. So this is an area in Nevada, and it's getting some serious attention. This is, by the way, where the flagship operation project of Volt is located, in Nevada. This is North America's historic tungsten belt. The USGS estimated 168,000 tons of tungsten oxide could be located in this area. I mean, and then again, and this is a proven reserve. These are proven reserves that were exploited for quite a long time before, one reason or another, they were put down and people started importing. And consider today's high prices. That could be an equivalent to that, 168 tons. It could be equivalent to $30 to $50 billion in the ground. And probably higher, because prices are going to continue rising. Demand is skyrocketing, and markets are catching on to all of these shortages. Don't get me wrong. There's smart people working there. They're figuring this out, that, oh my God, we need to lock in these sources. The position could appreciate a lot more than it is right now. And a lot of value, and Volt sitting right in the middle of that value.
Now this is where it all gets real interesting. In under 12 months, so less than a year, the U.S. government has taken five major steps to rebuild its mineral supply chains, which are in a horrible condition. This includes the Executive Order 14231 for 14231, Project Volt. There are 55 foreign ministries focused directly on these critical minerals. All this is driven by the fact that the U.S. no longer mines tungsten commercially since 2015. This is why Washington has committed $12 billion for Project Volt and additional federal support, all to establish and secure domestic supply. Washington is in overdrive. Let's not kid ourselves, as they tend to be at when they realize how bad off they are. This has become a national priority. The Pentagon is now actively funding and developing domestic supply chains for the very tungsten that is in the ground at the Volt project. This is an active White House directive. Volt is working hard, systematically assembling what will shape up to be probably the biggest massive U.S. tungsten, and not just U.S., probably North American tungsten profile. Portfolio. If you want to learn more about this, check out my description. There's a link in the description that'll take you to Volt's page where you can learn more about the opportunities that Volt has. And again, a special thanks to Volt Strategic Mining for making today's video possible. And now back to the video.
Oh, it's great to be back, Stas. Thanks for having me back.
It's my pleasure. And speaking of crazy people with air boxes in their heads, we just had a meeting in Ankara of the talking head psychopaths. So apparently Trump is now best friends with Zelensky.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this talk about this being a complete plot by the Europeans, you know, and Trump is, you know, he's so full of hubris that he thinks he can outsmart the Europeans, which normally wouldn't be that very hard to do, right? But Trump is so full of himself, and they know exactly how to cajole him. They know how to flatter him. I mean, look at the absurd Mark Rutte. Oh. You know, he's got to wipe the, you know what, off of his nose every 3 seconds. It's so far up Trump's rear end. But they know how to do it, you know, and they get him, and they get him in a circle, and they talk up the Ukraine thing, and they fill him full of bull crap. And next thing you know, he's like a bobblehead bobbling all their talking points. And that's exactly what happened. You know, and he turns to Zelensky, yeah, we're great friends now. We're good friends. We're good buddies, you know. And yeah, I encourage them to strike more deeply into Russia. I think it's a great thing. It's a 180, you know.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
How can you deal with a person like that? I mean, I don't know how the Iranians also could deal with a person like that.
No, it's hard to imagine, you know, dealing with him. Yeah, the Iranians must be pulling their hair out. And I think there's probably a lot of people in Russia, my guess is, that are annoyed that their government still is dealing with him, you know, because it's like trying to deal with a handful of slime. It just kind of falls out. It's never, you know. And that's exactly what it is. You know, the U.S. considers itself some sort of a mediator, while at the same time it's promising to, it says, hey, guys, you can open up your own factory. You can build your own missiles. We'll give you the license for these Tomahawks, you know, as if that will be somehow some sort of a game changer. You know, it's
By the way, from a constitutional point of view, how exactly does that work when the president of the United States, who doesn't own the company, Raytheon, has now decided that their private property, their IPO or IP, I'm sorry, is now going to be given away to a foreign nation?
Yeah, it's called money, right? Trump is going to say, how much do you need to make this happen? And they'll say, they'll think of their highest number and add a couple of zeros to it. I mean, that's what makes the Beltway work. That's what makes things run there, and that's what it's all about. And they'll find some way to do it. And trust me, the Raytheon people, whatever they call themselves now, RTX, whatever, they'll be thrilled. This is another great opportunity. And the great thing is that nothing will ever have to be built. It already takes like 2 years to build a single Tomahawk
I
missile
heard
at a
about
cost
that.
of $4
Wow.
million dollars. So it's just, I mean, it's like my friend Chuck Spinney would say, a self-licking ice cream cone. It's just a perfect situation.
Yep. I mean, I knew the cost. I knew that they were handmade, but 2 years? Holy crap. How
But
does it take 2 years to put a missile together?
Well, I mean, it's not like a bunch of guys working on one. There's the assembly and all, there's everything's happening. But ultimately, from start to finish, that takes a while. And the fact that there are hardly any left between handing them out to Zelensky, handing them out to Netanyahu, and firing them off ourselves at the Iranians, who we idiotically started attacking in the Gulf. There are hardly any left, and we know that for a fact now. And we also see it in Ukraine, as your viewers know for sure. I think one of the more recent, very large Russian incoming, none of the missiles was taken out. I mean, it's just sort of free for
Yep.
all, kind of like Tel Aviv late June when they started panicking and asking, desperate to get out.
I'm sorry. Did the war you ordered not come with your taste? Yeah, that one.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. But
Yeah.
then, well, we've got to do it again.
I particularly like the Israeli apologetics. It's horrible. Our people are dying. They're being hit. Wait a minute. Who started the war? Just remind me one more time.
Yeah. We're just defending ourselves. Well, hold on. You're in a foreign country, Lebanon, killing people and flattening villages. We're just defending ourselves. It's not fair.
If
That's
they're
the
all
attitude.
dead, then we don't have to defend ourselves anymore. See?
Yeah, that's
It's
right. Kill them, take the
was it
land.
the English said? It was offensive defense.
Offensive defense. Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly what it's all about. Yeah. We're laughing, but it's so disgusting,
It
and
is.
it's and that's why you're seeing in the United States there's something fascinating happen, which is the majority of even Republicans, even conservative Republicans, the majority, over 50%, said we should not give Israel any money. We shouldn't give him any more money. And I mean, I've been around for a while. I thought maybe that might happen ultimately on the Democrat side, but I thought there would be no possibility on the Republican side, that the Republican voter. Now, if you cut out the boomers and older, then it's well beyond 50%.
Oh,
They
yeah.
make up the bulk of the pro, what's left of the pro-Israel crowd. But young people, we've seen so many in the past 6 months, even so many public opinion surveys, massive ones, Gallup. That have shown that, but that Israel has completely lost the young generation in America. The young generation, which is very savvy, they don't wait for the media to come to them. They go to the media and chase it until, of course, the government steps in our free market society and says, we need to sell that TikTok because the Chinese are forcing you to watch videos about the Israelis killing Palestinians. Yeah, really? Is that what it is? And by the way, we're going to sell it to 100% pro-Israel guy. So there, that's how it happens. But they're very savvy. Young people are very savvy about this, and they have very strong opinions about it. And that's why we're seeing crazy things like this. What is it? Section 119 in our upcoming
Oh, jeez.
National Defense Authorization Act, which essentially is a merger of the U.S. Defense Department and the IDF. I mean, it basically ties future president's hands in foreign policy. Sorry, I got these new ear things that were supposed to be better than my other ones, but it's an upgrade, so they're worse. So
Yeah,
there you have
exactly.
it. I need to put some super glue or something in there to keep them in there. My head, I guess my I don't know what. But nevertheless, yeah. So essentially it removes the I mean, it removes the ability of future presidents to conduct foreign policy. You know, it removes any leverage that the United States would have. And obviously, no matter what country you're dealing with, you want to have some leverage.
Of
It
course.
removes all of that. And it also takes providing weapons to Israel from the U.S. It takes it out of the hands of Congress, and puts it and puts it somewhere completely out of the touch of Congress. You know, the entire procurement system in the U.S., which is very arcane and very difficult to understand and very lucrative if you do understand it. So, I mean, it certainly violates the Constitution. It violates the Article 1 and Article 2 of the Constitution. And it's just terrible, but it almost feels like a last gasp, and I actually I didn't realize I was making such a funny joke, but we had Dennis Kucinich, a former U.S. congressman, on our
Yes.
show a while ago, and we were talking about it, and I said, yeah, the Israeli lobby, they're taking a real beating in America, and I guess this Section 119 or whatever is their Hail Mary pass. And Kucinich stopped and laughed and said, that's an interesting juxtaposition. Israel lobby and a Hail Mary pass, and which I think is, I mean, we all started laughing. Even Dr. Paul started cracking up. I didn't even realize I wasn't trying to be funny, but it was funny. But anyway, that's just a long way of saying that's what's happening here.
Yeah. Well, it's not just that. I mean, there's Senator Tom Cotton that's now pushing in another bill that would allow just put the Israelis basically right in the middle with full access to all intelligence. I mean,
Intel,
it's
it does
not
the
like the
same thing
Five
for
Eyes
Intel.
because the U.S. can still switch them off.
Yeah,
They'd
it's
be
integrated.
co-owners.
Yeah, absolutely. And it would be impossible to switch them up because, just like in the Borg in Star Trek, all of the sinews would grow together and there'd be no way to disconnect them. When it's outright treason, and it's shocking that, more Americans aren't rising up. But then again, there are unfortunately a lot of people have just tuned out. Our mainstream media is so bad. It's so much worse than Soviet propaganda, East German propaganda. At least the average citizen in the Soviet Union, they realize that their state media was not telling them the truth, and they were able to say, okay, if they say this, it's probably the opposite. We don't seem to be able to do that in the US. At least the older generation doesn't seem to be. And I think a lot of people just tune out and don't watch the news at all and don't understand what's going on. I don't care. There's no way I can make any changes. And that's kind of a shame because this probably is one area where we could see some changes.
Well, I mean, theoretically, I guess the Israelis could order a Typhoon class submarine, maybe some Poseidon nuclear missiles. I mean, what's stopping them from ordering that at U.S. taxpayer expense, of course.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
I mean.
And it'll also be very difficult for a future president to cancel it. I mean, I forget there's some all sorts of waivers that have to be approved by Congress. So you basically have to find a way to disconnect our current Congress with its Israel lobby paymasters. AIPAC is such a huge funder. And obviously in other areas there are other lobbies. This is not the only lobby, but it's an extremely powerful one. And if you cross them, well, then bad things happen, as we found out from Thomas Massie. If you dare say that they should register as a foreign lobby and that we should stop sending billions of dollars to Israel and everywhere else, by the way, he's an equal opportunity non-foreign aid giver. But that doesn't matter. There's one country that you can't cancel aid from. And so they were able to bring in how many millions of dollars into that little district in Kentucky, and take him out. It's pretty incredible. We presumed that they had this kind of power, and we sort of ran up against it when I was on the Hill. But seeing it as raw power, they don't usually have to take off the velvet glove and show the iron fist, but this time they did. And I'm wondering if it wasn't sort of a strategic error for a tactical victory.
Yeah, that may be, or maybe just, I mean, pure desperation if they're feeling like they're losing control. I mean, they've got, I was making a joke of it, but I don't think it's really a joke that, the Republican Party should really consider registering themselves as a foreign agent. And the Democrats aren't that far behind either. They've got a little bit less, but they're getting up there.
I mean, if you look at organizations like Track AIPAC, which I think is very helpful,
Yes, yes.
they're not they don't defame they don't defame anyone. They simply show the numbers. That's what the beauty of what they do. They don't call anyone nasty names. They don't have to. They just show how much money you take. I mean, we should all be for that, right? I mean, I think that
Transparency.
every member should have that. What about all the ones paid off by the military industrial complex? We should have
Big
a tracker
pharma,
tracking. Raytheon gave him this much and this sort of thing. That would be a good thing. But certainly with regard to AIPAC, now that we see how much they make, how much they take, the Democrats are definitely, they've got their snouts in the trough, every bit as much as the Republicans. But the interesting phenomenon in the United States over the past couple of weeks that we've seen is in several Democratic House primaries, the establishment Democrat candidate who took a ton of AIPAC money has been defeated by sort of a maverick, up-and-coming young candidate. Unfortunately for me, who am not a fan of government, they call themselves democratic socialists, so they're for a lot more stuff than I'm in favor of in terms of that. But they also pride themselves on taking no AIPAC money, and I think that has helped them. The young woman from Colorado, forgive me if I forget her name now, but she was a young attorney, and she lost her job because she wrote a letter about the Israeli treatment of Palestinians in Gaza, and she was fired. And she said, okay, oh yeah, well, I'm going to make a crusade and get elected to Congress, which she may very well do now that she's defeated, what's her name? It's slipping my mind now, but sort of a standard issue pro-Israel Democrat, neoliberal Democrat in Colorado. Majette, I think her name was. Anyway, DeJette. Yeah, so it's interesting. And it's happened, it's been replicated in New York, and I think we've got to see more of it before we get to November.
And I agree that there should be for every member of Congress, and really it should be for every member of every parliament in the world. Who are they taking money from? I was living when I was living in Texas before we moved back to Russia. There was a push to get all the girls force vaccinated with for HPV virus, right? So, which is sexually transmitted. I mean, it's absolutely sexually transmitted. And then when it started with 12-year-olds, even though there were a lot of cases of people, ch children going getting paralyzed, going blind. I mean, lots of different things. Well, I don't remember the name of the governor at that point, but it turned out that his mother-in-law was working for Big Pharma. His chief of staff was former Big Pharma. He was getting big payouts to try to push it. It was just such an outcry. And I was one of the people writing a letter. It's like, no way in hell you're vaccinating my kids, go to hell. I'm not against vaccines when they make sense, but this is ridiculous. And then they had to back off. But that's when it came out. Everybody around there is Big Pharma, and now they're trying to
Tons.
force something onto society that way. I mean, it's vested
Corruption,
interest.
plain and simple.
Oh
Plain and simple.
yeah. I mean, it's horrible. But yeah, I mean, if you look. I mean, if you just look at the U.S. Diet, the obesity rates, that was an interesting graph I saw once. U.S. obesity was pretty much so mainline up to about 1986, about 1-2%, just like most nations, and then it skyrockets. And the question was, what happened in 1986? And that's when Congress and the FDA. They start allowing a lot of these food additives go in there, the artificial food additives, the artificial fat, the sugar replacement, and all that other crap. And there you go.
Well, they did that and they gave them the EBT so they could get it for free.
Oh,
And so you
yeah.
see people, the poor people, and I always notice it when I go into our local HEB here in Texas, and I sort of make a game of it, but I make myself so angry that I probably shouldn't do it. But you see people who are well dressed, and some of them have like an arm and leg full of tattoos, which
Oh,
I'm not an expert, I don't have one, but I bet they're not cheap. So
they're
you get your
not.
half your body covered with that. And they have a cart full of junk food, real junk, and then comes up to some astronomical fee, and here there goes the EBT card. It comes up on the screen, and I turned to my kids when they started working, and I said, "You paid for that. That's
Oh,
you."
yeah. I watched this documentary about that for Appalachia. If you've never been, Appalachia, it's a beautiful place. It's also third world. I mean, it is an
Oh, yeah.
absolute third world hellhole when it comes to economics, the quality of life. I mean, there's some exceptions, but for the most part, it's absolutely economically depressed. I mean, I as a kid, I even lived in West Virginia for a year and a half. I mean, it's hard. The industry's gone, the mining is gone, and they were talking about how much does a woman cost if you want to get a prostitute? It costs a case of
Oh.
soda. And like to
Oh my
understand, they
gosh.
have a soda economy. So they get these EBT cards, right? So they, but they want money for prostitutes or drugs or whatever, alcohol. They can't do it because you can't buy it with these, obviously. So what they do is they buy cases of soda, and then they go to restaurants and resell it for, 50 cents on the dollar. And this whole economy is
Wow.
run by cases of soda. It's,
Jeez.
yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. It's insane. I mean, if you're that poor, they probably should allow you to get alcohol. Take your mind off being so poor.
Well, yeah, there's the Canadian way. We'll just help you end your life because you're poor, it's assisted suicide.
Depressed.
That's
Yes.
you
Yeah,
heard about that, huh?
I've driven through Appalachia a lot myself, and I haven't, delved very deeply, but I lived in the DC area for 14 years. We took a lot of trips into West Virginia, and it's some of the most beautiful part of the country, but it is, you're right, it's heart-wrenching what's happened to people like that. It's just very sad.
We used to go in North Carolina up to go hiking up in the mountains. And I'll say this, we broke state and federal law. We always carried pistols with us. It's not because we were afraid of the bears or the mountain lions. We're afraid of the two-legged carnivores because there are always people disappearing, A, and B, the Appalachian Trail, different branches of it, they go really close to private property, and there's a lot of marijuana farms up there. You stumble into one of those, you're not
Protect.
leaving. That's it.
Yeah, you gotta protect your
So,
supply.
yep. Unless you're thinking smart, you're gonna buy the field. You're not leaving out of that field. You become part of that field. So yeah. So we always went packing just in case. But hey, what could you do? That was the only safety. Those nice places up there. But yeah, it's horrible. Go up there. But there's plenty of money for war.
Plenty of money for war, and there's plenty of bodies that they'll snatch up from Appalachia and everywhere else and put them in the machine. That's how things go. And then there's plenty of people in DC who are making a fortune, and a lot of them pretend that they are anti-war. I mean, a good friend of mine is probably, well, not a good friend of mine, but a friend of mine who's probably well known, he was touting how anti-war his company is because their missiles were very, very accurate and it reduced collateral damage, which on the one hand would be that's probably okay, but you know what, you're rich, you're unbelievably rich making missiles that do kill people. And these, if all of our wars were just wars, now I might be singing a different tune. If the US had never fought a war except in self-defense, then that would be a different thing. Of course, then he wouldn't need so many missiles and he wouldn't be so rich. But that's how they rationalize it. Hey, no, I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy, and I'm a good Christian too, by the way, and all of this. So, he's probably not a bad person, but I mean, frankly, to be honest with you, the church I went to in the DC area, very nice people, all Christians, but they're all working in one way or the other for the war machine. And I always thought, how do you square that circle? How do you profess to be a Christian, a Catholic, and what you're doing is evil? I mean, the machine you support is evil. It's I mean, I'm not I mean, everyone has to make a living, and I get it. I understand it. And I'm not going to cast aspersions on any individual, but it always struck me as sort of odd, with a country that's very objectively has such a aggressive foreign policy, such a murderous foreign policy. How you can justify such a thing.
Well, even the U.S. foreign policy aside, which is murderous, I'll agree to that. Just look who it's feeding the weapons to. I mean, countries like, well, let's just begin with Israel. I mean, that's the obvious one. There's a Hezbollah guy that I think walked by there. So let's level three apartment buildings just in case.
The whole thing. Yeah, the whole thing, just in case.
Yeah.
which is not about Hezbollah or Hamas at all. It's about ethnic cleansing, making room. Lebensraum, ironically,
Oh,
is
yeah.
what it's about.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, they're targeting Catholics, Orthodox Christians. They took out a Baptist hospital in Gaza. I mean, they're hitting the Christian districts in southern Lebanon. Yeah.
And our support for Ukraine, for
Oh, yeah.
thugs in Ukraine, the depopulation of Ukraine, certainly the demalification, if that's a word, of Ukraine, absolutely terrible, egging them on. And the lowest of the low lives in the US and Europe are keep encouraging this war in Ukraine, even though it should be obvious to anyone with half a brain that the war is beyond lost. You don't have to be a military genius to look at just the size of each country and the resources of each country and say, in a war of attrition, I wonder who'd win. I mean, it's not rocket science, but it's still being supported because it's so profitable for the US. I don't think it's as ideological here as it is in Europe, but certainly in Europe, it's very
Oh
ideological.
yeah.
It's almost like a cult.
It is.
Bizarrely enough, it's almost like a cult. I mean, ironically, these people weren't so fanatically anti-Russia when it was the Soviet Union and arguably could pose a threat and was theoretically at least more assertive in the region. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense at all.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's people are still calling it, oh, it's the Soviets. Might as well call the Americans the colonials. At that rate, it's only been 34 years. But yeah, it's still Soviets for 35 years. But yeah, it's I mean, you're absolutely right. They drank their own Kool-Aid. In large volumes, they drank their own Kool-Aid. I don't
And
know what to
the
do with them.
popular,
Yeah.
yeah. Well, there seems to be at least, I mean, it's hard for me to understand. It's been a while since I've lived in Europe, but there seems to be such a disconnect between the political class and the rest of society. You have people like Merz, and I think a lot of it is through suppression of opposition because people like Alice Weidel in Germany, who's constantly under pressure, under stress. We certainly know that in the Rassemblement National in France has faced similar pressure. That but there has been no real groundswell. But I mean, one of the things that you can do really is to demoralize the masses to the point where they don't believe anything can change, whether they vote or not. And I think we've had some of that in the US. We certainly feel it. You certainly can see it in Europe, where it doesn't matter who you vote for, you still get the same neoliberals, warmongering neoliberals.
Oh yeah, it's well, I think it was Judge Napolitano that coined it quite right. The curse of the U.S. No matter who you vote for, you get John McCain.
Yeah, it's actually Tom Woods who said that,
Oh,
but he's
was that?
absolutely right.
Okay.
Yeah,
Well, I
exactly.
know the judge repeated it quite a few times. So,
Yeah, he
but I thought
does.
he
Yeah,
was the one who came up with it. Yeah,
yeah, and
it's
lots of great
right.
slogans.
It is. No, have you seen what
Yeah.
I mean? What the Europeans are doing? Not only have the British arrested for like 15,000 people for thought crime, and they
Yes.
a large chunk of them. There's so many of them that they put in jail that they had to release murderers and rapists. They didn't have a place for jail for Facebookers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the real threat.
What's your
It's
crime? I
yeah,
put a
there's no
like.
unbelievable. Yeah, it's just an implosion, and it's an implosion of. But ironically, I mean, you have people like Vice President Vance going over and lecturing the UK about this, and rightly so. But look how dirty our own hands are here. Look what happened to people who are criticizing Israeli policies in Gaza. They were rounded up by ICE. They were fired from their jobs. The administration appointed a special, ambassador to fight anti-Semitism, which nobody likes anti-Semitism. There are a few people that may be, but by and large, people critical of Israel are not anti-Semitic. But what you do is you lob everything into this criticism of Israel as anti-Semitic, and so then you can do things like ruin their lives. You can deprive them of their jobs. And that's attack on speech. It's no less of an attack on speech than what the UK does. So the US is pretty hypocritical when it comes to these things. And especially the right in the US is hypocritical because they came to power under Trump with this whole idea that we're going to end this wokeness, we're going to end cancel culture. No, you didn't do that. You just took the power. You took the ring and you put it on your own finger and said, I'll use it for good. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, it doesn't work that way.
Well, I I've been out of the U.S. I've been living out of the U.S. now since 2010, and I haven't been back in the U.S. since 2018. So maybe I've missed a few things. I don't think I have, but I probably have. How is it constitutional in any shape or form when the state of Texas, as an example, says, so you want FEMA aid, state FEMA aid? Sign a document you're not criticizing Israel.
Yeah.
There's could no that way even it be constitutional?
There's absolutely no way it could be. I mean, boycotting is a peaceful act of resistance that we all have as human beings. You know, I mean, I have attention, Texas State. I have an app on my phone that I use when I'm at the store. And if I notice a product is made in Israel, I won't buy it. So there. You know, I won't get any FEMA aid. Good. That means I won't have FEMA coming around screwing up my house after a hurricane, you know, because they only make matters worse. But you're right. I mean, it is terrible. And I wish it should be challenged in the Supreme Court. Definitely should be.
Even most states in the U.S. now have a law that, if you want a state contract, if you're a supplier or you're a service provider, you want a state contract, you have to sign the same document that you're not going to boycott Israel. You can boycott America all you want or some other part of America. Yeah, yeah. You can criticize all you want, but no, you can't criticize Israel. You can't boycott Israel.
It's the only country, and it doesn't make any sense at all. You know, I mean, if you are convinced, and I would not be convinced because I don't believe it's true, that the Chinese are horrible people who are exploiting their population, what have you, you should have an app on your phone and not buy anything from China if you want. Yeah. It's none of my business, you know. That's your peaceful protest.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're supposed to be free to spend your money, well, at least on legal goods, on whichever brand you choose. Yeah, supposed to be, anyways.
Absolutely true.
But it's the same thing as if you take student loans, you can, if you're a foreigner, you can you can criticize the U.S. government all you want that you're being hosted by, but you can't criticize Israel.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, you can be in any protest you want.
Yeah, just not the Israeli, the anti-Israeli one.
Yeah, it's again, you know, we're living in a glass house and we're throwing stones. So there you have it.
I just don't understand how nobody's brought this up to the Supreme Court, or have they? And it's just been shot down. I mean, this is so blatantly unconstitutional.
Yeah, I mean, Texas is a strange state. I mean, it has a sort of a libertarian feel. You know, like when I'm away and I get back to Texas, I feel like this is a place where people want to be left alone. Mm-hmm. But there's also sort of in a strange juxtaposition, there's also this very sort of authoritarian, you know, leaning thing. And I think, to be honest, and I don't want to cast aspersions on anyone's religious views, but there's a very, very strong influence of the Christian right. You know, you call them the dispensationalists, the the Zionist Southern Baptists, and they all do have a very patriarchal sort of authoritarian view of things, and they all also believe essentially, which I'm sure you know about, Stas, the Scofield heresy. You know, The rewriting of the Bible in the late 1900s in a way that was absolutely heretical. And it was, as actually Tom Woods himself also said, that not even the Reformation leaders would recognize the Bible that is being used by Protestants these days. It's completely unrecognizable the way it's been rewritten. And in my view is, you can have whatever religion you wish, but if you're using that religion to take away the rights of other people, then that's going to be a problem. That's a political problem, and you're not allowed to, shouldn't be allowed to do that. But that's what we have a lot of here in Texas, you know, and it's just being driven by this. And you know, you and I could argue rationally about, say, welfare or drug legalization, but once you get into things that are very emotional and not necessarily quantifiable, or you know, or objective, like you are a religion, sometimes it can get very dicey. The conversations can get very dicey.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, as an Orthodox Christian, we just look at them as heretics. You know, and since we put the Bible together, I know the Catholics were part of us at that point. The Catholics say it's the other way apart. We were part of them, but you know, okay, we'll leave it at that.
No,
50-50.
what I do with my what I do with my Orthodox friends is we and this happens several times, they'll come over, I'll open a bottle of bourbon, we'll sit there all night and pick apart each other's differences, and he'll take his best shot at me to try to convert me, and I'll try to refute, and you know, that's the way you do it. We end up,
Yeah.
you know, with a good night's sleep afterwards.
That's a good way to put some bourbon down. But you know, the Orthodox, well, the Orthodox Church in my case, I'll say the Orthodox Church, with the Universal Orthodox Catholic Church at that point, put the Bible together, which, by the way, most Protestants have absolutely no idea how, where the Bible even came from. There's a Third Ecumenical Council. They have zero idea about that. I think they just think it just appeared one day. Here you go. Here's a Bible. But yeah, you know, you hear somebody like Ted Cruz when he was talking to Tucker Carlson, and he's like, yeah, this anti-Christian theory of replacement theory. Oh, you mean the foundation of Christianity that said that the Jews are now those that followed Christ, whether a Hebrew or Gentile, whichever, but it's the people. Oh, so that's not replacement, radical replacement theory. Yeah, that's been around for 2,000 years. It's because, you know.
I mean, what was the entire purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ then? How could that's the fundamental basics of Christianity. How could you
Yeah.
refute that? You know, he didn't come down saying, "Hey, follow me if you want, man. If not, just keep doing what you're doing. We're good. It's all good." You know, I don't remember that part of that. I don't remember that book from the Bible, the "It's All Good" book. You
Hey, the
know.
guys that are giving me up to get crucified, it's all cool. Just listen to what they
It's all
have to
good.
say.
It's cool. Yeah, cool, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
It's a
yeah.
problem. It's a big problem in the US, you know, and I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I think, you know, the younger generation, and maybe I put too much faith in them, but I think they're walking away from a lot of these churches. And there's also some great Protestant pastors like Chuck Baldwin, if you've heard of him,
Oh, yeah, I've heard
who
of
and
him.
there's a lot like him that are saying, no, these other people are heretics and they're completely wrong. So, you know, just pray and have faith that they'll see the light.
Well, you know, you have again Ted Cruz, because he's just like a favorite whipping boy, because he just said so many things that are just insane.
So bad.
When he comes out and says, you know, people that say Christ is king, that's racist. Okay, well, no, the best one was though, of course, when he told Carlson that, you know, I wanted to be the best representative of Israel in the U.S. Congress, not the state of Texas, not the people that vote for me, but for a foreign country. You know, put China
Can
in
you
there, or
imagine?
put Argentina in there, and
Yeah, I want to be elected because I want to represent Denmark. They put you in a cage, you know. This dude's got a problem, you know. I mean, and as to the other, I mean, it's right there on the cross, Ted. Jesus Christ, King of the Jews, you know. I mean, Christ is king, you know. And of all the things Pilate did, he, you know, he refused to take that down at least. You know, he had some guts at least for a moment there. So.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yeah, it's amazing to watch. You know, I told for several years, I explained to people what the Christian Zionists were here in Russia, and people look at me like I'm insane. I mean, quite literally, like, you know, this can't be right. And I go, no, it's right. I grew up amongst a lot of these people. No, they're right. Like, no, that can't be right. Now they're looking at it like, holy crap, you were right. I'm like, yeah, you
You
know.
were right. I mean, and these are, I mean, r otherwise rational people. It happened, you know, just a couple of months ago among someone that I know very well, you know, and we were talking about, well, you know, we really shouldn't be backstopping this slaughter in Gaza. You know, it's just not a good look, especially as a Christian. And this person said, yeah, but you know, God told us, if we bless Israel, he'll bless us. Otherwise, we'll be cursed. And where does he say that? Number one, where is it in Scripture? Where did it say that? And he certainly didn't mean, some East Europeans 2,000 years later who discovered that they want to return to a homeland that they never were part of, either according to DNA or according to culture or what have you. Obviously, what happened to the Jewish people in World War II is terrible. But the Palestinians didn't do it. The Germans did. Take over Germany. You guys can have it.
And now they're repeating it. But and by the way, hey, look, what did Mertz say as he was crying and gushing out? They're doing the job of civilization. Whoa, that's loaded.
Sounds familiar. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
And what do you do with people like that? I mean, that's the leadership of Western and Central Europe.
Even with their faults, you remember big men in every sense of the word, like Helmut Kohl,
Oh.
a huge man with full of ideas, or Helmut Schmidt. So many wise leaders in the past, that that generation is gone. Now we get Angela Merkel,
And she's the
right?
best. Out of all these other guys, she's the best.
Yeah. Exactly. And here in the US, we had people like Reagan who had a lot of faults, but he was a genuine president with genuine, a sense of dignity. And now look what we have. We had Obama who wanted to be able to, kill Americans without warrants, and he did several of them. We of course have had Bush who killed a million Iraqis, and we've had Trump now who is God knows what he's about to do or is doing. He doesn't have any sense. Person who's personally enriched himself to the tune of $2 billion last year. It's so unseemly. And who's I think there's a lot of good evidence that he's using this conflict with Iran to feather his nest or his family's nest or insiders' nests. Because you have a huge sell-off when he announces one thing, a huge buyout when he announces something else. I was reading today, I think it was in FT, maybe it was somewhere else, about how they bought up a bunch of defense stock before he made a certain announcement, and this sort of thing. And it's unprecedented. It has to be unprecedented, and I don't know how he gets away with it.
Well, at least, and the Bidens are incredibly corrupt. Well, were in comparison to everybody before them. Now it's,
It was a whole
and
different.
I was gonna
I
say
didn't think
Hunter
it could get
Biden had
any
to do
worse.
bigger paints to money launder.
Instead of finger bombs, I mean, it's I didn't think it could get worse. And he's actually, it's interesting in the US now, he's sort of rehabilitating himself in a way. And I never thought I would see it, but he's actually got on X, and it may all be an act for him, but he actually sounds pretty reasonable and pretty rational. That just shows how things have fallen, with the Trump family. And I was not an anti-Trumper. I was not a never-Trumper. I wanted Trump to win because I couldn't stand the other possibilities. And I thought it probably he's not going to live up to all of his promises. But if he does a few of them, we'll certainly be a little better off than we were. It's been nothing but a disappointment. There are only some tiny little areas where he has lived up to his promises, and I think those are good. But if he had just focused on those, rather than all of this sidetrack, I do wonder if the man is altogether there, because everyone has a slip of the tongue, obviously. And if you're in the public light, every little slip of the tongue is magnified a thousand times. But he says some things that are so weird, just sort of scratch your head weird. I do have to wonder. Now, maybe it's just some personality traits that he has, extreme narcissism, all of these different things that a psychoanalyst would probably put together in a profile. Maybe it's just that, but maybe something else is happening upstairs. Maybe all those cheeseburgers and Diet Cokes or whatever he drinks, that's not healthy food, guys.
Oh, so wait a minute, wait a minute. So you're trying to tell me that the Islamic Republic of Japan did not launch 111 missiles at an American aircraft that knocked them all down using Patriot missiles, which don't exist on aircraft carriers. But hey, I know I'm splitting hairs there, but you know, the Islamic Republic of Japan, I told people they'll be back. The Japanese will be back. There you go.
Someone posted that on X yesterday, and I reposted it with a picture of General Yamamoto saying, "Take that, bitches. We got you. We're back." We're back.
That's good. That's pretty good. Yeah, it's well, I mean, this is the guy that ended the horrible and many century long Armenian-Cambodian conflict. Yeah. And it was a many-century-long conflict because there's a long way to go. You know, you go over there, you throw a few rocks, a grenade, shoot the guy, go home to lunch. You know, it's a long way. He comes over to your house. You know, it's a long route. He throws something at you. So exactly. It's back and forth for a couple hundred years. I mean, the great Armenian-Cambodian conflict, you know.
Yeah, and then he had mix it. Let's make a deal, guys. Okay.
You put them all together in a room, hug. Yeah, but then he settled. He settled the Abyssinian Egyptian conflict that's been raging for 3,000 years since the Young Kingdom. That's something that needed to be settled too. And that's one of his eight wars, as far as I recall him claiming that
putting up statues to him for all this. Yeah. What a time to be alive.
So is the Arc de Triomphe going up in DC? Is that a real thing that's going up?
That's his plan. But look, I mean, the problem with someone like Trump, I mean, he really is like this real estate developer who's kind of crooked. You know, when you go in and you just bought an apartment from him and it's all trash, the sink is trash, and he's, hey, there were no guarantees, you know, you didn't read the fine print, you know, that sort of thing. He's sort of like that, you know, because he's ripped up the East Wing and it's just a complete mess. It looks like a junkyard. Yeah. Looks like some of the places out here in Clute, ripped up, you know, a dog chained to the outside, to the front yard, you know, maybe a horse chained out there. I mean, that's what it looks like. And now he's running into problems getting it built. Turns out it's going to cost a lot of taxpayer money to build this thing. He it's almost like a kid with his toys. Now I want a helipad on top. I want a super secret bunker underneath there. I want a Coke machine,
in every room.
In every room, yeah. 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 I want a McDonald's in there. It's it's bizarre. And then, you know, how he rechanged the Kennedy Center to the Donald Trump and John F. Kennedy Center. And it's so petty and so bizarre. I was just reading that the Palm Beach Airport is now the President Donald Trump Airport. And
seriously?
Yeah.
They usually name airports after dead presidents, not the ones sitting in power. You know?
He should know that. I know. But, I mean, really, the thing is, I've never served in the military, but I know that the gateway to Arlington is a sacred place.
Oh, yeah.
These were where so many Americans from every war we've had have lost their lives. And you know, I've walked through there. I've gone there on Veterans Day. And I actually saw George W. Bush speak there on Veterans Day, but I've walked around and I've, you know, experienced it, the weight of it. And the idea of putting up some sort of a garish triumphal arc in front of that detracts so much from what should be the somber experience of going there and realizing that if we do have to send young men and women to war, we should be sure that it's for a just cause and it's for our own protection. And we should keep them in mind. They're not just pawns to be sent off and killed and then, you know, praised with this garish, you know, gilded arc. I really
he's planning on putting that right in front of Arlington.
Yeah, right in the circle as you enter the Arlington Cemetery.
Holy crap! Yeah,
just well, as why you cross would you, the bridge.
Yeah. Wait a minute, Arc de Triomphe is for triumph. You don't really want to talk about how many people you lost. That's one of those. Yeah, would you put that in front of Arlington or in that area?
Oh, and it'll probably have like a big Trump along the top of it that lights up or something. But
no, that's the worst part.
It's not the right, you know, I mean, if you've ever, I've done it once or twice, but if you've watched the changing of the guard at the Unknown Soldier, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington, it is moving. It is a moving experience, you know, and it conveys how somber the place should be, as all military cemeteries or all cemeteries should
Right.
be. But I just I hope that he's not able to do this. I hope the veterans groups get together and say, no, this is not going to happen.
Put it in
But
Vegas.
just like someone on the left had the save it for Vegas, maybe. But unfortunately, the left has Trump derangement syndrome, and the right has this sort of the opposite, whatever it's called, that he can do no wrong. He's like Jesus Christ himself, and here are us in the middle saying, different degrees of, he's this, and so there's no rationality there, I think, unfortunately, in the U.S.
Wait a minute. I thought he was almost on the level of Christ. I mean,
He's
Paula
close,
White
very
flat
close.
out said he is the anointed of God. And where she walks,
Yes.
it's holy ground. And she's stomped all over the White House. It's all holy ground. And he's the anointed of God. And going against him is like going against God himself. I'm not sure which God she's referring to, but it's a God. That's her words. And she's the faith counselor,
Advisor,
manager, director,
whatever.
or something or other.
I think no, her God has Ben Franklin's pictures on it and 100
Yeah.
on each corner, and it had a big stack, as much as you can put together. Yeah, that's what it's
Yeah,
all about.
I did a video blog a log on her one time, and I watched a bunch of her videos. Like, my God, it's a circus at best. If you ever watch an exorcism, when the demons leave a body, if you believe in exorcisms, and the Orthodox, like the Catholics, we do, and the body just falls and is it's a whole different person because the stress leaves, right? And as she's driving out demons, it looks like the other way around.
The opposite,
I
yeah, they're
understand probably
coming
half these
in.
people are paid actors, but it looks the other way around. The demons are like entering. They're
I mean, I
jerking.
can only
They're
imagine. Exactly. I mean, I can only imagine what the average person in Russia would think when they saw her speaking with all of these things, especially when she's speaking in tongues and all. They must think we're nuts. We've lost their minds.
It's a culture shock. It's absolutely cult, especially, I mean, Orthodox, not everybody in Russia is Orthodox, but and a lot of people that are Orthodox rarely ever go to church. But it's about 24-25% of the population goes to church regularly. And then the rest, holidays or baptisms, whatever. Unfortunately, that's the truth of it, but it's growing. I mean, the percentage is growing a lot, but it's still, about 25, 26%. But for the people, I mean, culturally wise, you see that, yeah, it's a massive culture shock. And but if you read, I mean, if you read the New Testament, when they brought people that were possessed by demons to Christ, and he drives the demons out, or the apostles, and it's the description of these people as they're when they're still possessed. Is just like what I'm saying. Like when she's supposedly driving out, they're now acting just like the description of the demon possessed people in the Bible. They
It
went from
makes you
acting normally
wonder.
to all the jerking and the screaming and everything else. Like
It definitely makes you wonder.
it does make you wonder. It's
Absolutely.
insane, insane. Well, what about the? Wasn't there a statue in Florida that they were blessing, a statue of Trump, golden statue?
Yeah, I mean, talk about the golden bull or whatever. I mean, it's this weird thing that all of the evangelicals came in and they say they weren't blessing it, they were praying in front of it or something. But I mean, that's about as close you can get to worshiping a false idol. I
And a
mean,
golden
and
one.
it was so tacky. I probably if you scratched it, it would come right off, the paint would come right off. It's probably just spray painted on,
We stole the gold. Here's some paint instead.
Exactly. It is it's unseemly and it's embarrassing as an American to have this kind of self-aggrandizement. I mean, it's just not even here in the land of, where there is a lot of self-promotion, it just seems to be well beyond, and it was cute for a little bit, like for a couple months, and then we realized, no, he's serious. At first I was thinking, oh, that's just Trump. It's kind of funny, and he says things that other people think. And early on when he was putting down the European leaders that we can't stand, we're like, hey, finally someone is telling them what they need to hear. But now we saw with the NATO summit, last week that no, he's happy to be one of them now. He's
Oh
not
yeah.
gonna do this anymore.
Well, it's because they figured out how to handle him. Oh, Papa Trump. Oh, Daddy, Big Daddy. Rudy Fruity, and the rest of them are doing the same thing. We just need to buy time. If we can't get him on our side, we just we humor him.
Yeah, I mean, Maloney has somewhat stood up to him. Gonzalez has somewhat stood up to him in Spain. And look, I mean, he's obsessed. The things that he said about Giorgio Meloni, first of all, and I'm not a leftist guy, but it sounded very sexist to me, like, oh, she's desperate to get photographs with me. It sounded a little bit over the line. But the stuff about Spain being so pissed off that, I mean, actually, the guy is an absolute creep. But the I think he's a foreign minister of Belgium. And I forget his name now. I can see his face. But he did make a, believe it or not, he made a good point toward the end of last week when he said, look, Article 5 is of the NATO treaty is that we would come to your defense if you're attacked. It's not that we come to fight with you if you attack someone
Oh,
else. So the idea of Trump being so angry with NATO for not following him into Iran, it's so irrational for him to feel this way. And I'm surprised that more people haven't told him that this isn't how Article 5 works. But you're absolutely right. They're all terrified of him because they're all such cowards themselves. They're all basically Rutas themselves. They're terrified of him. There's no one who'll say the emperor has no clothes, so he keeps steamrolling over people.
I loved when he was calling in NATO to open the Straits of Hormuz because, hey, it's not hard. I mean, it's pretty easy. Just come in there and do it. Now, we can't do it, but you can do it. You send your ships in. It's really easy. It's just, before you started it when they were open, it reminds me of there was a Charlie Chaplin movie, old silent movie, where Chaplin is selling glass for windows. So he hires a couple of kids to go around down the, run down the street, throw rocks in the windows, and then 10 minutes later, here he comes selling glass for windows. It's kind of like that, you know.
Exactly it. That's exactly it. Absolutely. That's exactly it. And besides, they couldn't help if they wanted to. I mean, the British Navy, I hate to break the news, is not up to where it once was.
Oh, that's being
What was that thing
generous.
that,
That's being very
yeah.
generous.
What was that thing a couple of years ago? There was a sort of a destroyer type ship that wasn't it didn't come equipped with guns because their budget wasn't high enough for it. There's some crazy story back then. Couple of years ago about that, but there are plenty of stories about how badly outfitted the military is in Europe,
Yeah, the queen
which
of
but
those.
certain it tells you one thing that they actually, despite all of the rhetoric, they really don't feel threatened by Russia. Because
No.
if you felt threatened, I mean, if you had a neighbor who you were like really threatened by, like this guy, he's going to come get me someday, you'd stock up on guns, you'd learn some like Taekwondo or something, you wouldn't sit around getting fat all day. I mean, you would prepare because this guy's trouble. The Europeans haven't done that, and which I think is great. I'm glad that they didn't spend all their money on military. And now, of course, they're doing that. They're wasting all the money on military. I'm not a big fan of welfare spending, but if it's going to be spent, spend it on giving everyone a, 6-week vacation rather than some useless weapons, something like that.
Good schools, decent medicine. If you're if you're going to
Exactly.
spend it, spend it on that. But yeah,
Other people,
and
and that's what they had done.
and when I talk to the Europeans, I'm like, look, Russia is 42% of Europe, the best 42%, with a big farmland, the black soil, all the resources, plenty of room to walk around in. Why would Russia want to invade Europe? I mean, Russia's fighting for historical homeland in what the artificial state of Ukraine that the Bolsheviks, Lenin created, Ukraine out of whole cloth. But why would Russia want to go in the rest of Europe? It's degenerate, it's deindustrialized, it's dirty, it's collapsing. Why, if you just want to go see a castle, drink some coffee, drink some eat some tiramisu, buy a ticket, rent a hotel, go home afterwards. You go to Europe, you actually have to take care of them. You have to fix their problems. Why would anybody
I
want to
mean,
do that?
who would want to rule a country where everyone hates you? I mean, it would be suicidal for President Putin to want that. There's never been any evidence that he does want that. He said himself that he doesn't. He's uninterested in it. He doesn't want, the last thing he wants are the Baltics back. There are a lot of Russians that live there, and when I was there a few years ago, we visited some ethnic Russians there who had been disenfranchised from voting, treated like third-class citizens, all of this sort of thing. It wasn't their fault that they were part of the Soviet nationalities, solution to the having this multicultural society. I mean, that's a lot of what happened in Ukraine as well. It wasn't their fault. They didn't do it. They shouldn't be punished for it. But other than that, what would he want? What would Putin want with Lviv? As my friend John Lochten used to say, just a bunch of druggy skinheads
Well, I mean, that's Ukraine at least. That used to be, Galicia wasn't part of the Russian Empire, but I mean, going into Germany, going into Italy. I mean, there's I got a friend of mine in Ireland who's talking about the Irish government trying to tell him any day now the Russians are going to swim across the channel and then swim across the Irish Sea because here they come,
And then, and do what? Do
You know,
what?
I've got the secret feeling. Well, it's not a secret feeling. I got a feeling that secretly a lot of Europeans want the Russians to come over there to fix things for them. But I'm sorry, no interest in that. Fix it yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
No blood or treasure. You can fix it yourself. You made the problems. Go fix them yourself.
Yeah,
Lay in your own grave.
exactly.
It's your dog.
Oh,
Oh yeah, there's. It's a mess. It's a mess. Well, like you said, there's no adults left in the West.
certainly not in this generation. And
No.
I mean, and those those do that show some promise. Look at Fico in Slovakia. He's now probably the last man standing in Europe. Who's trying to stand for something with Orban out of the picture. You had the fake election in Romania where they had the opportunity to have an actual patriot be elected. You had the fake election in Armenia with a basically a lunatic being reelected who gave
Oh,
away
yeah.
half his country. I mean, what a mess it is. But I do think that that things are happening. And I mean, unfortunately, people like Marie Le Pen are not as Marie Le Pen as we wish she were.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, she does make them panic. Weidel in Germany does as well. She's probably not anywhere near as tough as you and I would might like to see. But she does say some rational things. So, who you never know. I mean, things can happen very quickly. I remember in 89, the summer of 89, and I mean, everyone has the image of the Berlin Wall. That's not really how communism ended. I mean, it was something a lot simpler. It was a picnic actually in Hungary, where the East Germans came round as they did every year and met their relatives from West Germany, around in Eastern Hungary, and or Western Hungary. I'm sorry. And in that summer, they just didn't go back. And that was essentially the system showed itself to be incapable of maintaining its hold on people. And so it holds, then all of a sudden it doesn't, and it disintegrates. And I think that's what we're probably going to see in Europe, and maybe even the United States if we, with a $40 trillion debt, keep spending like we are.
Yeah, I was gonna say the U.S. is, I mean the U.S. is a disaster. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. You ever looked at statistics on trail derailments? I used to
I
live
can
in
only
East
imagine.
Palestine, Ohio. I lived in East Palestine, Ohio, when we first moved to the U.S. I was a kid. That the American Chernobyl happened. They tried to burn off all the chemicals, and you could see it from space, and all the carcinogenics went up in Canada. The U.S. since about that time, it's suffering about three partial or total derailments per day.
Wow, I did not
Per
know that.
day. There was a good video on YouTube of a train, an Amtrak train in Ohio. It looks like something out of third world. I mean, a train's like moving 5 miles an hour. It's doing this because
Oh, I've seen that video. That's crazy.
the rail is so warped because nobody's replaced them in 100 years. Oh, it's insane. I mean, they're talk about the statistics coming out that 40% of eighth graders can't read and write. I mean, the country's screwed. I
Got a mess.
yeah, make America great again. Well, if the foundation's rotted through, you can build all the floors you want, it's still going to collapse. You got to go
Yeah,
down to the base.
and you can also spend all your time instilling self-esteem in young people rather than actual skills, right? Oh, it's no problem. I'll use ChatGPT to do it. I don't need to study. We get a lot of that in here, and it's a real problem. It's a real problem. But on the other hand, I mean, I rode on the maglev trains in Shanghai, and you can see what kind of engineering is being done in China, as we rot. And as we think, how terrible the Chinese are. I mean, they're building, I mean, it's maybe not the exact perfect system to my liking, but they're actually building something that is just quite incredible. I mean, there's nothing like sitting there and going 380 kilometers an hour on a train. I mean, it's exhilarating.
Yeah, we're getting our first our trains. The passenger trains are going about 250, but they're opening up the first leg of the first line in about 2 years. It's going to be ready. They're building because it has to have a whole new line because of the speed. The train's going to be going from so actually, I think the first leg is going to be opening up either toward the end of this year or beginning of next year. From Moscow to Tver, and then from Tver to Novgorod, and then Novgorod to St. Petersburg, 450 kilometers an hour.
Wow,
So
that's
yeah,
incredible.
it's going to make it to St. Petersburg from Moscow city center, 2 hours, and I think they're saying 15 minutes, and that's with 19 stops.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah,
Wow.
so you don't have to, you don't have to work your way out to an airport, which is always, pain in the arse. You don't have to go through all the security checks of an airport. I mean, there's still security checks, but it's city
Sit
center.
there.
So,
Have a couple of brews. Next thing you're in St. Pete's.
yeah.
That's
You just
great.
about the time the buzz is really kicking in, and it's
That's
time to
right.
get off.
Yeah, off to the museums.
And they're building the next line. They're also already building is to Kazan, which is just west of the Ural Mountains. So that's. It's gonna be a big. It's gonna be a big move. Unlike the one that they're building in California, kind of.
Yeah, billions and billions of dollars wasted. That went into someone's pocket.
It's
Terrible,
California.
terrible.
Did they even have any of it running?
No, I don't think so. No, they never built any of it. It all just went down a black hole. That's just how they do it. It's terrible.
It's horrible. Well, I want to thank you
I'm
for
gonna,
coming on.
yeah.
Let's
Yeah, it's always great.
had you on for a while. And it's always a pleasure. And it's a good conversation. So
We'll have
hope
to
to
meet
see
in
you
person
on.
someday.
Yes,
Yeah, we need
yes.
to have one of those brews one day.
There's a brew house not too far from my place. They do their own beer.
All right.
It's pretty good beer. Like
All
four or
right. I'll
five different
take you up on
varieties.
it.
So by all
I'll buy the
means,
first round. I'll buy the
I'll buy the
first
next
round.
couple. Yeah, it's pretty
Okay.
good beer, and the food's not bad either. It's not even expensive. So it's so it's
I'm
a
ready.
good stuff. Four
All right.
story restaurant, or three
Wow.
story restaurant. Right, three story
Wow.
restaurant.
That's great.
Yeah,
That's
yeah.
great.
With these
Well,
big
we'll have to
beer
do a
with the
conference
big
out
beer
there.
tanks.
Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds great. Well, thanks again for having me on. It was great talking, and I look forward to hopefully doing it again. And I'd like to have you. I do kind of a Liberty Report extra show that we because normally we just do the news, but I do one that comes out on Saturday. So I'd love to have you on that
Yeah,
sometime.
sure.
It's more like
Absolutely.
this. It's more like it's less than hard news. It's more discussion. And I'd love to talk to you about life in Russia. I think that would be
Okay.
really interesting.
Yeah,
So,
absolutely.
all right.
Absolutely. There's a lot of
Sounds
Americans
good.
these days and Europeans that are moving.
Yeah.
The anti-woke crowd. And I'll tell you, before we go, I had some woke people going off on me. Yeah, you can take the MAGA, the real MAGA. I'm not the groupies behind Trump, but the really hardworking anti-war, all that. Like, so you want me to take you want us to take your religious, hardworking, productive people? Sure.
Yeah,
Okay.
bring it.
This is
We'll
punishment?
take it.
Okay,
Yeah,
sure, no problem.
exactly.
We can do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Woke people are silly. There's not too
Yeah,
many of them.
exactly.
Oh, and by the way, the people who are supposed to have caused the liberal revolution in Russia after the conflict started, they're the ones that ran away back in 2022. The liberal
riddance.
rate was pretty low to begin with. It got much lower after that. It's like, oh, I can breathe again.
See you later.
Yep. Cheers. Bye. I got friends in the Republic of Georgia. Like, we never wanted them here. Take them back. No, we don't want them either. Push them to Turkey or Armenia. No, we don't want them. They can stay. They hate it here anyway. So, yeah, you can keep them all.
Yeah, send them to San Francisco.
Oh, they'll have fun there. Los
Imagine.
Angeles. Thank you. Thanks
All right. Well,
for
thanks so
coming on.
much.
Yep.
Hope to see you again. Take
Ho
care.
hope you
Okay.
can make it
Bye
soon,
bye.
and we'll get you back on.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Cheers.
Take care. Bye bye.
Hello, dear friends. Just want to remind you, if you like this video or you like what you hear, click like, subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet. Send it to your friends. Let's grow this channel. Maybe we can finally hit it up to 100,000. That'd be a good round number for the summer. So let me know, leave some comments, and give a thumbs up. So look forward to seeing you in the next video. Cheers.